want to ask you if you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. It's in the middle of your Bible. And Psalm 107. While you're looking there, I want to remind you all that last week we began to make our commitments to the app program to seek to reduce and eliminate our debt. So some of you have prayed about that, thought about it, talked about it this week with your spouse or family, and you're ready to make a commitment today. So some made it last week. And so during the invitation today, if you'd like to bring it forward, you can lay it on the Lord's Supper table, or if you'd like to, just fold it and put it in your the offering plate when it passes. That'd be great. Today I want to talk to you about Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. Last Wednesday night at the evening meal, I sat with some of the teenagers and some of the adults. We sat together, kind of a mixed group sitting there, and I was telling them some of my silly stories and jokes that you all make fun of, and I hear you telling it other places. One of the adults looked at me and said, "Did you take a course in seminary on preacher jokes or something?" And I humorously said, "Yes, I did. It was Stupid Jokes 101." And the other lady at the table said, "You must have gotten an A in that class." So here's one for your record book. When I find a good business that I love in town, I like to pass it on to others. Recently, I needed a dentist, so I asked someone if they had a recommendation for me because my dentist was busy, couldn't get me in, and so they said, "Well, I have a dentist that I like to recommend. He's a little unorthodox, but he's very reasonably priced." And I didn't know what unorthodox meant in their mind, but I was willing to take the chance, so I made the appointment, and when I walked in, an assistant greeted me and took me back into the room, and I sat down in that space mobile seat that they have at the dentist office. You know what I'm talking about. And pretty soon the dentist came in and said, "What's going on? What seems to be the problem?" I said, "I have this really bad toothache. I need you to look at it, see if you can do something for me." So he said, "Well, open up." And I opened my mouth real wide, and he looked in. He says, "Oh, very interesting." He said, "Well, hold on to the armrest there and brace yourself." So I closed my eyes and opened my mouth real big, and then pretty soon he picked up a rubber mallet and hit me on the hand. I jumped out of the seat, and I said, "What are you doing? This is crazy." He said, "Well, how does your tooth feel?" I said, "I can't even feel my tooth." He said, "That'll be $20. That was sort of funny, wasn't it? Okay. Right. Well, whenever we experience something that is good, we enjoy it. We approve of it. To us, it's valuable, or maybe even approaches excellence. We like to tell somebody about it. A commercial on television that some of you may have seen about a bag of chips illustrates this point very well. Two girls are sitting on a couch on a rooftop party, and they are tasting some chips and salsa. And Sarah whispers to the first girl, says, "These chips are amazing." So Amy, who loves to tweet and retweet, stands up and says, "Sarah says these chips are amazing." And the rest of the crowd says, "Thank you, Amy." Whenever you find something good, evidently none of you have seen that commercial, I guess. Evidently, when you find something good, you want to tell other people about it, is my point. So I want you to turn to Psalm 107. This is way back in the Old Testament. I mean, these are way back years and hundreds of years before Jesus. And what we discover here is an example of the Jewish people using the hymn in their worship service to express thanks to God for his love. Not unlike we might do here to use the hymns or the contemporary songs that we use to express our love to God or our thanks to God for his love. Now, this particular psalm is interesting. We cannot read all the verses. But when the congregation would sing it, what they would discover is a call to worship, and then they would hear four different verses, we might call them, or four different special testimonies of persons who have experienced God's love. Just look quickly down to verse 4. Some have wandered. So there is a hymn here or a verse here about those who have wandered, and yet they've experienced the love of God. In verse 10, it talks about those who sat in darkness and gloom in the prison cell, wrapped with cruel chains. So prisoners have experienced the love of God. Down in verse 17, there were those who have been afflicted because of their sins. And verse 18 says they loathed all food and came near the gates of death. But then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. So those who have been remorseful about their sin and experienced God's salvation. Then finally, in verse 23, we see those that went to the sea in ships. These are sea merchants or sailors. And they have experienced God's safety in the time of storms. So all of these examples are just like when we would sing a hymn, and we sing verse 1, we sing verse 2, and verse 3, and verse 4. And then at the end of each verse, there is a refrain that is repeated. It's in verse 8, and verse 15, and verse 21, and verse 31. It says this: "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for all humanity." So get the picture for me. Thousands of people are gathered in the temple. The choir is up in the choir loft, and the congregation sings a hymn about the wanderers having experienced the love and grace of God. And then the choir sings out, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love." Do you get the picture here? And then the second group talks about those that have been in prison and been set free. And then the choir sings out, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love." Are you with me here? Okay, just want to make sure. I mean, I really worked hard on this. I want to make sure it makes sense. All right? So we're going to read the call to worship. And then there is the psalm ends with a testimony that the entire congregation would sing. And then we're also going to read verse 43, which is an admonition to the faithful about God's love. So here we go. Psalm 107, 1 through 3, and then verse 43. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the foe and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south." And then verse 43. "Let whoever is wise pay attention to these things and consider the Lord's acts of faithful love." So I want to talk to you very briefly about three things that will help us to remember, because in the King James Version, that verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." First one is that God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The Lord is good to his people. Could I get an amen to that? The Lord is good to his people. And because he is good, it speaks to us of his character and the attributes of what makes up the personality, his spirit, the love, the faithful love of God, is because he is good to us. There are many times when I have gone through desperate moments in my life, times when I wasn't sure about what the next day might bring, and decisions I had to make, and things were not clear in my mind. And I had to settle, first of all, to understand the character of God. When you nail it down, when you are firm in your heart, when it makes sense to you to understand that God is good, that he's not out to get you, he's not bringing bad things against you because he doesn't like you, he is not trying to punish you with lightning bolts from heaven. When you understand that God is not like that, God is good, then a lot of things in your life start to fit together and make sense. God is good to his children, and it reveals to us what he is like. And his goodness comes to us in spiritual ways, in physical ways, and emotional ways. When I was a young man, teenager in my church group, I was part of a team that was starting a new church in Smithton, Illinois, a suburb of St. Louis. When I went out to that church, I didn't know what to expect. My job at first was to watch the children in the nursery. Well, we were a new church start. We didn't have a nursery. We met in the city hall, and the nursery was in the fire department wing. So we kept the children on the fire trucks. That is like the greatest nursery ever invented, okay? But that was my job. And when we move into the worship service, there were times when some of those new people coming into this new little church would share testimonies. And there was one man who stood up one day and said, "I went to the doctor this week. He's told me I've got throat cancer. It's all in the bottom of my mouth and my throat. And I go to see a specialist this week to see what they're going to do about it." All that little bitty church gathered together around that man and prayed for him. And the very next Sunday, as a teenage boy, when I went to thinking I was helping out start this new church, And I hear the testimony that this man gave. He said, I went to the doctor this week, and the doctor said they can find no trace of cancer anywhere in my body. And that little group said, God answered our prayers. Now, whether God healed him, the doctors were totally wrong, any way you want to think about it and slice it, the guy ended up without cancer. That's an amazing thing. And as a teenage boy, I remembered the power of asking God for his goodness. And God is good to us. And committed believers can always trust in God's goodness because his love is faithful and his commitment to the covenant he's made with us is loyal and true. And he has offered thanksgiving. In this verse 1, it tells us, give thanks to the Lord because he is, say it, he is good. God is good. The second thing I want us to understand is we are redeemed by a good God. I didn't try to make this too fancy and flowery, just very simple. God is good, and we are redeemed by a good God. The first 6 words of verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord. So who are the redeemed? Who do we mean by that, the redeemed? Redeemed speaks about people who are delivered from slavery. So the Israelites were thinking when they would read or sing that phrase, let the redeemed, they were thinking about as a nation, they had been in slavery in Egypt. They had been in slavery in exile in Babylon. They had been controlled by other nations. But when they were singing this song, let the redeemed, they were thinking about how God had brought them back out of not being a people and brought them together to be a people and a nation. There were people there that were singing because they had been in the prisons or they had been at sea or they had suffered affliction. And they were thinking redeemed means freedom from the jaws of death. They were brought back from almost facing their death, and God saved them and redeemed them, brought them back. And there were many who were thinking about being rescued from danger, from times when they didn't even know danger was around. Maybe God's hand prevented them from suffering in that time of danger. Let the redeemed, those who have been brought back out of slavery, from the jaws of death, from danger. And for you and you and you and you and those in the balcony, anyone that is with us today in worship, the truest proof of God's goodness to us is that he has saved us, he has redeemed us, because of his mercy from the sin that controlled our lives. Galatians 3 says it like this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Christ redeemed us from sin. 1 Peter says it like this. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. If you have trusted in Christ Jesus as your Savior, if you've committed your life to live for Jesus, God has redeemed you for sin. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? Final little point. God is good. We are redeemed by a good God. And as the redeemed, we should testify of God's goodness. The last part of verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them. Redeemed them from the hand of the foe, and he has gathered them from the lands, east, west, north, and south. Francis Ridley Havergal is an 18th or 1836 to 1879 when she lived. She was a poet and a hymn writer. We know some of her hymns that we sing occasionally. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That's Frances Havergal. Or, I gave my life for thee, your precious blood you spilled. That is Frances Havergal. She said about this passage of scripture when she was studying Psalm 107 one time, she said, if I could write as I would want to about the goodness of God to me, the ink would boil in my pen. Now, if you're under 30, you don't know what a pen is. It's like a long thing. Okay, ask somebody by you. But you get the idea. If she could express the goodness of God the way that she wants to, the ink would boil in her pen. The redeemed should always talk about the goodness of God. I don't mean flippantly. I was thinking about this. I've known people who were almost obnoxious in the way that they express their devotion to God. When I was in high school, we had a guy named Daryl in our gym class, and he would come up to guys that were not churchgoers, probably, as far as I know, and he would come up to them, put a hand on their shoulder, look right in their face, and say, "Amazing Grace, how..." They could care less that Daryl knew how to sing Amazing Grace. It was kind of obnoxious. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking rather about being obvious what it means to be a Christian. The redeemed should always talk about God's goodness. We have been rescued from the enemies of God and those that sought to destroy us in sin. God has cared enough to call us by name and make us his children, just like he did the Israelites. Gather us together from all different kinds of places to be his people, his children, the redeemed. Last time we celebrated the Lord's Supper, I know you all remember that sermon very well. Remember that it was, I'm not afraid to say, I love the Lord. You remember that? And I challenge you to consider how you love the Lord. This morning I want to ask you another question. How has God been good to you? If we're going to give him thanksgiving and praise him for his goodness, has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? Hey, the redeemed, has God been good to us? Last Sunday, while we were in worship service, a deranged gunman entered First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas. Killed 26 people and injured many more, and you've heard about the news all week long. What really brings it close to home is one of our deacons has a sister who lives in Sutherland, Texas, and is a member of that church. Was not there that morning, but had family members and friends. Some of them were injured during that shooting. People from media outlets all over the country, really all over the world, descended on that small little Texas town. What they discovered there was a close-knit community of people who were saturated by the faith of God. Now, I'm sure that we didn't hear interviews from everybody in town, but the ones connected with the church, had, even if they were rather loosely connected, when a microphone was put in front of them, everything I saw on the news was people talking about how they trusted in God, and God was good, and God had protected, and God was going to get glory from this. And I watched some of the reporters, and I was kind of overjoyed to see the confusion on their face. They had no clue what it meant. They tried to understand how people could respond with such faith and positivity. Are Christians just stupid? Are they just ignorant? Do they play a game? Are they faking it? Or is there something real about God is good to us and we have faith in his hand even in the midst of catastrophe? See, the world does not understand that. A few days later, there was a community-wide prayer service held at a school where some of the children from that church who had been killed or injured had attended. Texas Governor Greg Abbott was there and led the service. Vice President Mike Pence was there, who I think is a great man, by the way. Senator Ted Cruz was there. And U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions was also present. I wish I could tell you more about their comments. Every one of them said some great things, but because of my time today and we're going to serve the Lord's Supper, I want to conclude just with the words from Mike Pence, our vice president. He said this, "Words fail when saints and heroes fall. Your testimony of Christian love is inspiring the nation. Whatever animated the evil that descended on that church Sunday, if the attacker's desire was to silence the testimony of faith, he failed. The voice of faith, the witness of faith, in that small church, in that small town, now echoes across the world." Do you get it, my friends? God is good to us. He has redeemed us. He's made us his children. He saved us from sin. He keeps us from danger. He helps us in times of catastrophe and calamity in life. Even when all the things of the world pour in upon us and fall at our feet and they drive us to our knees, God is still faithful in his love and is good to his people. And the scripture tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's time for us as Christians to model what we've seen in that little town that is grieving and their heart is broken over the great percentage of their population that was killed that day. And yet they speak of the goodness of God. Maybe verse 43 is this admonition that all of us as God's children ought to remember. Let whoever is wise pay attention to these things and consider the Lord's acts of faithful love. Back a few years ago in Illinois, I had been elected as president of the state convention. I was serving in my second term when my good friend, Fred Winters, who pastored First Baptist Church in Maryville, Illinois, was shot and killed as he came to the pulpit that morning. A gunman came into the church, unrecognized by anybody in the congregation. It was the early service. Fred's wife and his children were in Sunday school. And as Fred got up to preach, the man walked down the center aisle, and Fred Winters stepped to the side and in his pastoral way said, "Sir, can I help you?" And as soon as he asked that, the gunman shot the first bullet and Fred's Bible exploded. The second bullet hit him right in the heart. They said he was dead instantly from that shot. And then the third bullet shot him in the head. The crowd sat there totally shocked out of their gourd. Security people that were in the congregation ran, but it was too late at that point. They tackled the gunman, and in days later, they discovered he had never been a prospect in the church. He had never filled out a form. He had never attended anything they had done. He had driven right by the church of another friend of mine, Tim Lewis, on his way to First Baptist Church of Maryville. A lot of people in the congregation thought, because in those days churches did a lot of drama in their service, they thought it was a skit they were playing out. Didn't understand the tragedy that unfolded right there in that moment. His wife Cindy was a friend of mine, had been close to my family. His girls I didn't know very well because they were extremely young, but I knew Cindy and had many connections with her because she had been a counselor in our Pathways Counseling Center in our church. And I watched her, as many people did. People across the world watched her. Articles written about how she responded that day. And it's taken years for she and for her daughters to really heal. But she was a lady who quickly stood up and she said, "We need to pray for that man's family." How can a Christian experience the death of someone they love so deeply, and the first thing out of their mouth that reflects their heart is concern and care for the shooter's family? There is only way Christians can respond that way. There's only one way that the redeemed can speak of the Lord that way, because the Lord is good, and the redeemed should say so. So today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It is a symbol, it is a memorial of the goodness of Jesus, who wrapped himself in human flesh, came to live among us in this world, and went to a cross where people nailed him, and he gave his life to redeem us from sin. The best expression of the goodness of God is that God in his wisdom wrapped himself in human flesh, walked among us, and died on the cross to pay the price for sin. And today, as we take the Lord's Supper, yes, it is a way for us in this congregation to keep alive the message or keep alive the hope of what Jesus has done. We say it in here, but the real test is, will God's people, will the redeemed, walk into the world and say to others, God is good. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. Not in obnoxious ways, but in gentle, gracious ways that God gives us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The world's not really looking for the next big preacher who wants to build a big arena church and sell a bunch of books, make millions of dollars. That's not what the world's looking for. The world's really looking for Christians whose connection and faith in God is real, and when they have a chance, they graciously, gently speak of it. Doesn't mean we don't go through difficult times. Anybody had cancer in here? Anybody lost a loved one? Anyone had a terrible accident and suffered the consequences? Anyone raising a child that has a special need? Anybody lost a job? Anybody gone through a divorce? Does not mean that life is totally perfect and easy for us. It just means in the midst of those times, God is with us and God is good. And the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that it's not just some kind of cheerleading chant. It's not a hyping of a song. It's not some big hollering some message that finally somebody will listen to. It's not advertisement. It's just the reality of what it means to walk with God in faith. That despite what we go through, things that we face, there you are, and you are dealing us good. If we're honest, even in times when we rebel against you and turn away from you and ignore you, you are still there in the lives of your people doing good. Father, would you set us free? Would you help us as your people, whatever role we might play in the church, but as your people, as we walk through the world, set us free to speak graciously and gently about how good you are to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.